Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, and welcome back to a special bonus episode of the At Betches podcast, Speak Now at Betches version. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Holly. It's been a long time coming, Sammy, but we're back and there's so much to cover.
Yeah, we have not had the honor of doing one of these episodes. I mean, you know, we're the ones who decide when to do them, but this one, it was just so, there's so much to talk about. It was inevitable, basically.
Right. Like, we make the rules here. This is our place.
This is our place. We make the rules. Exactly. So we are coming off of a crazy week for Taylor and a crazy weekend to come because she is going to be at the Super Bowl. We have the Grammys to talk about. We have the release of Tortured Poets Society. We're going to go through the track list. We're going to do all of this in 30 minutes or less even. All right, let's start.
We should just dive in. Oh, I wanted to mention, speaking of the Super Bowl, I did buy a sweatshirt off of TikTok shop, and this is very pro TikTok, I will say, because it arrived in 3 days. I was worried I wasn't going to get it before the Super Bowl, but it says Kansas City Chiefs on the front, and on the back it says Karma 87.
Wow, that's really going to age poorly if they lose. But
I thought that, I'm like, okay, if they lose or if they break up, this is not. But you know what? It was a moment in time.
Exactly. And, you know, Aileen will tell you that they're going to win because it's a conspiracy theory.
Right.
Because it's rigged. Sorry.
From our episode earlier, everyone.
Yep. This is a reference. Don't worry. I'm not really saying it's rigged. I don't know anything about it.
We have some thoughts on our girl Taylor and like how the Grammys went down. I know you have some pretty passionate thoughts about her behavior.
Yeah. I'm assuming if people are listening to this, they are aware of the various details of Grammy night. Well, I think I kind of gave my opinion on on yesterday's episode. So how about you give your opinion?
Right. So we know she made history, which is great. You know, she's the only person to win Album of the Year 4 times now. I was actually kind of surprised. I know it was her year, I will say that. But I thought it was going to go to SZA, if I'm being honest.
Like, genuinely, I think a lot of people did.
It was definitely a big upset. Of course, as Swifties, like, we're happy for her, like, great, but a little surprised. I feel like the Grammys were definitely catering towards her a little bit.
You think they wanted some of those eyeballs that the NFL likes?
Yes, I think so. And
is that your opinion because of like the quality of the album?
No, I think it's just because. Honestly, I don't think...
Quality of the competition.
Yes. I don't think Midnights is her best album. And I
don't think anyone thinks that.
Yeah. Like, it was her year, but I don't necessarily think Midnights itself should have been Album of the Year.
I agree. I'm completely in agreement with that. I mean, I don't begrudge her the win. It's not like it was like, this was a terrible album. What were they thinking? But I do think her writing has been better.
Agreed.
I think some of the lyrics are way clunkier than other... Yeah. Albums. And you know what? Here's the thing. Good for her. I'm not interested in kind of pulling that apart. Mm-hmm. More so her just energy around the Grammys. And I hate to fucking like pick her apart also because like everyone has a tough night. She's under such a microscope. I don't want to be unfair. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those occasions where I'm like, I see why people who are critical of her are like, this is not great behavior.
Because, like, she is in this new era of, like, she is the head cheerleader now. She's not the girl in the bleachers, but she is deep down. So, like, she's always going to do the surprise face. Like, I think she genuinely still feels that way about herself when she gets recognized. But I think because she's, like, the most famous person in the world, people are a little like, how are you still that shocked that you won or that... you referenced this earlier, like that she was saying she didn't want to be alone up there and was like dragging Lana, which I genuinely, I don't think that was a dig at Lana. She's one of her best friends. I just think like
not.
She was so caught up in the moment that it's like Lana just lost to you. Like, yes, Lana was on Midnights with you, but she might not
have.
It's that
she didn't think about that. Like, right. She was so caught up in the, like, I want to be a good friend or be seen as a good friend if you're being less charitable. Probably right. Both. That's the thing. It's like the least charitable way to look at it is like she just wants to seem like such a good friend and such a champion that she's like so she has no awareness that this is awkward for her friend who just lost. Yes, she's right. On the album, but still that she's so caught up in that. Or it's like she genuinely felt like we worked on this album together. I want you to come up with me and you're my date. Which, right. That is
factual.
Totally valid. True. And probably part of her feelings.
And I felt like her behavior, it was very reminiscent of like the VMAs. We've messaged about this before recording. Like, it's just not the atmosphere, I think, to drop an album announcement.
I think the VMAs is like a better place to drop
much,
an album.
Much better. Sorry, I might have phrased that wrong. Like at the Grammys, when you're in the company of just like your fellow peers in the industry, there's not screaming fans in the front. We're like, oh my God, what is she about to say? That it just kind of oddly fell flat almost, because you're not going to get people screaming in the audience when she just announced it and walked off. And it was so early in the night. Granted, she's trying to be humble that she wasn't sure if she was going to win later on in the night. And I know she was quoted saying that she wanted to just drop it because she didn't know what would happen. But
so she said that in Tokyo.
Right.
Last night or two nights ago. Who knows
right,
what the
I know
time
my
difference.
Time difference?
So let's elaborate on that. She basically said during her, you know, she does the monologue for Champagne Problems. And she said during that portion of the night that she wasn't sure if she didn't meet. She was originally going to save the announcement of the new album for that night in Tokyo. But instead, she just kind of was like telling Jack and her, you know, that she wanted to do it now. And she just kind of like did it almost spontaneously. But then it's like, how could she have done that spontaneously? Even if you had the post ready,
right.
It's just you were going to let people know. Like you didn't. So, OK, there's that. And yeah, it is like that. You're in this peer room. They're your competition or your. You know, it's just not at the Oscars. You wouldn't have like a director announcing his next film.
Right. That's a very good comparison because it would be so weird. It would just be like, oh, this is a little out of place.
Right. It just didn't make sense. Even if maybe she had just dropped it like as an Instagram post right at the end. That could have been cool.
Definitely would have been more. Shock value. I mean, we all sensed something was going to happen. I think a lot of people thought it would be Reputation being announced at the end of the night on her socials. But I still think Reputation, quick side note, I think that announcement is going to come in Tokyo because part of the Endgame music video was shot in Tokyo. So I could see that happening. And I also heard another theory that Debut is also going to be announced in Tokyo, or they're both going to be dropped within like a month, like within this next 6-week period, because she has her Eras Tour movie dropping on Disney. Mm-hmm. Disney Plus. That's the
first yeah.
Thing. Disney Plus.
Disney Plus on the 14th of March.
On
15th of March. 15th,
yes. So now there's that theory of like she wants to, before that's officially released, that she wants to like own everything before that movie officially gets shared on Disney.
But why would she want that?
So she can,
or why would it matter?
For like every, like, let's say they're adding, although a part of me is like, how can they add clips to the movie if it's already like done? But people were saying that she, if there's any surprise things to add, or just for her own state of mind, like once the movie is out, she'll already be like, at this time in my life, everything has been claimed by me and owned by me now. I don't know.
I don't see that for the movie. I don't see that for the movie. I mean, maybe you're right. I would love. I've heard the double album predictions, like that she might drop both at once, or that she might drop debut first. I kind of feel like she wants to keep us waiting for Reputation, even though I've also heard the theory that she will drop it in Tokyo because it was it's like meaningful to the Endgame music video. And then she did something else in Tokyo last time. It's always something like that.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. And it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft, custom milled Luna Lux bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself, and that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches. For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those 5 precision engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
Regardless of what she ends up announcing or not, she is keeping us fed with music because there's a lot coming. This is coming. We have the Tortured Poets Society coming April 19th, which regardless of how she announced it, I'm thrilled to hear it.
So thrilled. 2 years in the making, supposedly.
So, okay. I guess now we're going back to her announcement. 2 years in the making. Why do you think... I always just feel like she's trying to retcon some narrative. You know, she wants you to know she wrote this starting in 2022. So she was to imply that she was like broken up.
Right.
Then I wonder, is it like so that she can make her jump to Maddie Healy and then to Travis seem more less of like a quick turnaround?
Right.
Or is it because she wants to like make it clear that the relationship was on the rocks in 2021, i.e. you're losing me, and then in 2022 was the breakup? But then why would he show up at the early era shows?
Right. I don't really know where she's going with this. I don't even know if that detail needed to be told to us, because you can just tell from the track titles that it's obviously going to be mainly about the fall of her relationship with him. So
it does appear that way. Because also in Tokyo, she then kind of like changed the timeline again.
Right. Should we go through the titles of the Tortured Poets Society?
Yeah, let's do that.
I keep saying Dead Poets Society. Everyone's doing it. Like, this is a long, we're not used to long titles from her.
I love the title. Like, no, it's not even the Tortured Poets Society. It's the Tortured Poets Department.
Oh my God. I actually put that in the outline.
Yeah. It's TTPD, the Tortured Poets Department. I think it's cool. I like it. It's a little cheeky. You know what else is funny? That it's coming out on April 19th, which is the day that the American Revolution began, as well as National Cat Day and National Poetry Day. Like, how did she think? How does that all work?
The pettiness of that first bullet you just said. The day the American.
Do you think she Googled that?
She must have. Unless she's.
Or did it just work?
An encyclopedia. Like, there's no way. She must have been like, all right, I'm done with the Brits. What is a significant?
I wonder if she. Okay, I imagine it's sort of like in context of all of her albums that she has to come out. So she's right. Probably like finagling, and there's probably a bunch of different meanings that could come from any given
true
thing.
Now we have to go back. Now I'm like, I want to check the release dates of like Reputation and.
Well, we know that the song Me came out on Lesbian Visibility Day.
True.
Me out now. That we know.
Yes. I like love this, but I think it's obviously so petty, like releasing it the day the American Revolution began. I just think that's hysterical. And I think that's kind of iconic of her. Like you could say the start of the Great War, you could say.
You could say, but is it as petty as the fact that people immediately put it together that the title of the album could be a reference to the name of Joe Alwyn's group chat with Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott, which they call the Tortured Man Club. Apparently, there was a Daily Mail article that was like, Taylor used to rib him on that name all the time because she thought that it was like a dig at her, when really it seems like it was like something that kind of didn't really have much to do with her.
Oh, wow.
And now it's out there. Look at that.
I mean, look, I don't know what went down, but I'm assuming he's going to go into hiding. He's someone who's not about the public life, which we know, but...
Where is he? He's nowhere anyway.
Yeah. I mean, because this is just, like, taking something that you thought was mocking you and turning it... I mean, that's very her, but, like, turning it into an album title. And then we're going to go through them, but some of the songs on this track list are just... I would just want to curl up in a ball and die. If I was him, to be honest.
I know what you're talking about, but like, if it is really this big of a roast as they look to be from the, it looks like it could be from the titles, I don't know. Maybe it'll be more self-aware and less like, you know, sort of vilifying him.
Right, not like a burn book.
Yeah, I don't think it would be a great look for her to turn around and do this to the guy who kind of like, protected her when she was going through this. And you know, I understand she did that with her previous relationships, but she was much younger. Those were not as long and serious, and also those people wanted the relationship to be public. He always said like he doesn't want it to be public, and in the beginning she was like obsessed with that, she loved it. Right. And now it's like now become like it's turned around. So, I mean, who knows what the actual contents of these songs will be, but if it is as bad as it could be, I don't know that was like so great of her to do.
Right. And when he was protecting her, that was like post cancellation from her, of her, and also like during COVID. But I think, I mean, as we know, like she's someone who does love the spotlight. So I think we're going to get that feeling of like being ready to come back into that Hollywood world, and how she's kind of exhausted and being drained by him. I think we're going to get that. Yeah, I don't think this is going to be super like violent towards him, because I agree with you. I think that would be really bad for her image right now. That would be very like circa 2015, when it was like, oh, she's only writing songs about boys that she like hates, that she dated. So I think it'll be written, obviously, as we like probably very beautifully.
Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere, and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But Framebridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames, so you can spice up your space with ease. I love Framebridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. Framebridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then Framebridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's. And enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
So the first one is called Fortnite, featuring Post Malone.
I'm excited.
Which
it's
is
like
cool.
Midnight, Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he plays Fortnite.
I could see him doing that.
Maybe he played Fortnite for a Fortnite. Ooh. At some point.
Love. Second song is The Tortured Poets Department. So title track. 3 is My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys.
This reminds me of the kid in Toy Story for some reason. Like, I just picture like, that scene of Sid destroying. Yeah, I don't know why.
Oh my gosh.
Doesn't it just feels like that?
Mm-hmm.
It just gave me that image.
Right. Not like Andy. Like definitely Sid. Like
yeah,
a little darker.
Definitely not Andy.
Yeah.
Andy was like, he
the
loved
sweetest.
His favorite toys.
4 is Down Bad. Relatable.
I kind of feel like that's going to, for some reason, I'm getting like rock vibe.
Oh, I would love that.
Maybe I'm wrong. Could be totally.
Maybe we'll get some variety. That would be cool. Because
I really
could
hope
see
we get
it,
some rock.
I could see it going like indie alternative, just like with the design and like the cover shoot for like laying in bed. It's like very Tumblr 2014 aesthetic, but it would be cool if there's like some rock, some pop. I could see that.
I hope.
So of course we have the dreaded track 5, So Long London. pretty self-explanatory there.
Goodbye. I mean, goodbye to the city.
No more London boy.
Doesn't scream her name.
Could be the saddest track of all time. Track 5, who knows?
We'll see.
And then 6. Okay, so I have some theories about 6. It's called But Daddy, I Love Him. Mm-hmm. So this is a Little Mermaid reference when Ariel says that to King Triton. Mm-hmm. And we also know that Taylor dressed up as Ariel for Halloween, I think, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Which year?
I want to say it was during a COVID year.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it might have been like 4 years ago. She dressed up as Ariel. And that was the year that Gigi Hadid was like Mary Poppins. And it was with Blake Lively and a few of their friends.
It was 2019.
Okay.
Actually. Oh, perfect. And it was New Year's Eve.
Oh.
Okay. Well, okay. So we know she is into
We know Ariel might be a favorite princess of hers. Okay. And then so Harry Styles was photographed like years ago with a fan with that quote on a shirt that he was wearing. So mm-hmm. I find that interesting, which also leads me to the theory of like, maybe this is not fully a breakup album about Joe, that this could be another midnight scenario of like, we're just going to get, yeah, we'll get some of her breakup with Joe, but we also might just get some other thoughts that she's written down throughout the years because she just can't seem to let Harry Styles go. Because there's another track that I think references him.
I mean, maybe. I feel like she could be going through a bunch of relationships where she had that like kind of dynamic. Where she was warned, he's not good for you.
True. And what I also just thought of was how Ariel loses her voice. Mm-hmm. That could be like Joe, not that he silenced her per se, but just that he is so private. And maybe when she was ready to start coming out more and making more appearances, he was restricting. I'm not ready to do this. And she might have felt pulled back. So mm-hmm. could be that theory. Track 7, Fresh Out the Slammer.
No Body, No Crime.
Could see this. I could see this being a banger.
Fresh Out
the Slammer.
Or like a vigilante shit type of sound.
And then 8, we have Florida with 3 exclamation points. So,
and Florence and the Machine.
Being very deliberate there. So
I could see this being like a culturally significant song. I don't know why, but I think people think that it references like the first show that she had to do after of the Eras Tour that she did after her breakup. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of her first time, I guess, maybe in public dealing with that, which reminds me of a different track, which is track 13, which is I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. That made me feel like, she must be talking about how she had to go on tour still, you know, even though she was heartbroken and kind of like pretend to make it through stuff.
Right. So 9, Guilty as Sin, ? So maybe that's similar to, can I ask you a question?
Is she guilty or is
she guilty?
What? I don't know. We'll see.
Are both parties? 10, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? So I've been seeing some theories with this one. So there's a play called Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which starred at the time, because there's been many revivals, starred Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. Now, why do those names sound familiar for Swifties? So on Reputation, as we know, there's a lyric where she says, Burton to this Taylor, and he can be my jailer, Burton to this Taylor, and Ready for It. So
maybe he really was her jailer.
Maybe he was. Track 11, I Can Fix Him, ( no, really, I can. Relatable.
I wonder if that's about Joe, Maddie.
Right, because we know Maddie is extremely problematic, so
maybe that's the one she was
like that
fix.
Delusional period when you know someone's really wrong for you and you know people don't like him.
Never been there.
And then 12, Love of My Life, but spelled like
LOML. Maybe, well, here's the thing, it's only LOML. We don't know that it means love of my life.
True. But Harry Styles,
it's all lowercase too.
Harry has a song called Love of My Life, so
yeah, but it doesn't say love. It's lowercase LOML. So we'll see. It could mean a lot of things.
True.
We don't know what it means. We're just assuming.
Track 13 is I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. 14, the smallest man who ever lived. That I feel like is going to be a tough one if this is about Joe for him to swallow.
It could, that's yeah, it could, but it could also be like a folk tale kind of thing. It could be about herself because she's the man. It could be about both of them. It could be about, it could be anything. It could be like,
that's the thing with her.
It could be about someone entirely different. We'll see.
We'll see. And then 15, the alchemy.
That makes me think of like chemistry when you first meet someone. I think that might be about Travis. Mm.
Maybe we'll get little glimmers of Trav.
In Tokyo, she also tried to like scrub the timeline where she wanted to kind of like add that she had been working on this throughout the American tour. I think the alchemy is going to be about like, do you have like the chemistry?
I hope, because we're all obviously dying to hear anything that gives us insight to their little courtship. And then 16, this is a big one, because I know we've messaged about some theories with this one, Clara Bow.
Yeah, very exciting. So, you know, old Hollywood starlet, the original It Girl, had kind of a very tragic life. But what's most intriguing to me is that her Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame is at Sunset and Vine, which is famously quoted in the song Gorgeous, as anyone listening would know.
And she's also known, she was known for her dating life. Back in the 20s, she was seen as very promiscuous. She had slept with men and women. The term boys bisexual.
And boys and girls and girls.
Boys and boys and girls and girls. You can want who you want.
Yeah.
You know, the term bisexual, I don't think that was, obviously it wasn't said back in the day. But
well, it was just like you do the thing that's like not illegal.
Right. And, you know, obviously we
people
know.
People did it though.
People speculate on her sexuality. She's made comments about it. So maybe she feels a lot of ties to this woman and a lot of parallels there. Obviously not like the tragic life and like upbringing and stuff, because that's obviously different. But certainly her Hollywood life is, you know, kind of similar to this woman. Her Grammys look this year was very, I think it might have been inspired by Clara, because like the necklaces and like the pearls and like the choker, the
there
black and
white. There
is a
picture of her wearing like what looks like the very similar choker to that watch thing.
Yeah.
That looks cool.
So I could see that as like a little nod.
Yeah. And the last thing, which I'm really excited about, the bonus track is called The Manuscript. I wonder if this is going to be like a spoken track. Something about this to me like didn't sound like it's going to be a song. I don't know why. You know how she has done those like recordings like in long like voice notes?
Yeah.
I almost can see it being like that.
I could see that. I feel like there's like
Lana Del Rey-esque.
Yes.
She has like those interludes.
Could see that. I feel like we're gonna get a lot. I mean, maybe just from the title, but I feel like there's gonna be a lot of wordy phrases in that one. Like we're gonna get a lot of stuff.
The only thing I could see is like, what if it doesn't pan out? As like, what if she wrote this after like the success of Folklore Evermore, and she, I don't know. I think something was very special about Folklore and Evermore, which is that she was like freed by the lack of expectations. And I worry that in this one, we're going to see that she got kind of like caught up in the self-consciousness. Yeah. And I hope that the announcement of it doesn't like portend that. But also, that is very tortured poet.
True.
Tortured.
Fits the title.
Okay, let's just quickly talk about the Super Bowl, which is coming up this weekend. Do you have any predictions? Are you excited? What are you thinking?
I'm very excited. I'll be wearing my sweatshirt. I'll be working it. So tune in, everyone, to the Betches Instagram and Twitter and X page. I think they're going to be kind of low key, to be honest. Even if the Chiefs win, because I think they will, I don't think she's going to make it about her. As we've seen, like she's just in the stands, in the box, doing her thing. Like, I don't think, like, this is his day. She had her Grammys. She made history. She's having her moment. He can have his. maybe if they, I'm sure she'll go on the field if they win and we'll probably get some cute PDA, but I don't think there's going to be, I mean, he even shot it down. Interviewers were asking like, oh, is there going to be another kind of ring if you win? And he's like, ah, I'm focused on the Super Bowl ring. That's the only thing on my mind right now. Like he wasn't talking badly about her at all. Like he was actually very, it was very cute. Like they were asking him, have you heard the album yet? And he's like, yeah, I've heard a little bit. It's great. Everything she does is amazing. So, you know, he's perfect for her, especially when it comes to just dealing with the press. Like he just knows how to answer everything in such a cute but also just respectful way with boundaries. Like he says just enough for the interviewer to get their soundbite. But who knows? I mean, he's kind of like that golden retriever energy. So I could see him doing something like a big grand gesture if they win. Maybe a feed post.
I could see a feed.
Maybe we'll get that.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, at some point, he's going to have to do a feed post if there's ever going to be a feed post that's not like their own wedding. So my thought was like this, if he wins, like that could be a feed post. We'll see. Also, we will find out if Aileen's theory pans out.
Right. If the Super Bowl is rigged.
We'll see.
She's not alone in that theory.
I know. Apparently, like everyone thinks it.
Yeah, I mean, people bet on the Super, like, it's so, like, there's so many theories out
know.
There.
I don't know. I can't. I'm just, all I can predict is, you know, what will be on the Tortured Poets Department.
Yeah. So that's it for our special bonus episode of this week's Betches podcast. You can follow me at So Hollywood and Hollywood Talk.
I'm at Sammy.
And if you want us to do more, be sure to rate, review, give us a good review, Swifties. We love you. And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Holly Wilkinson. Editing by Jazz Zapatos and Shannon Sassone. Be sure to follow at Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.